We break down the Chicago Bears' loss to the Green Bay Packers next on the Unbearable Sports Podcast. Yeah, she's got some nice. Welcome back to the Unbearable Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Barrett. Make sure to like and subscribe if you are out there on YouTube. Also, you can check out our podcast everywhere you get your podcasts. Just search for Unbearable Sports. Also, if you are a betting person, go to BetUS.com, use promo code Unbearable or the link in description to get 125% bonus on your first deposit. Helps out the show tremendously if you use that. So thank you again. But we got to break this down. We have to break down the Bears' loss to the Green Bay Packers. We talked about it. There's pros, there's cons to this, right? And this is the low, right? You feel low, you feel all this. But hey, we're going to break this down with my 10 takeaways and a little bit on why this is a really good thing. If you're a fan of the show, you probably already know what I'm going to say, but there's a good reason as to why this is coming up. And now the Bears are going into the bye week. We have a lot of awesome content that we're going to be showing you over this bye week. So you want to make sure to stay tuned. So, like we said, Bears lost 28-19 at home in Chicago to the Green Bay Packers and to drop down to 3-10. Justin Fields, 254 yards, and on the ground, we had 155 total rushing yards at a 6.2 yards a carry. Awesome, right? And then on the defense, we gave up 182 passing yards to Aaron Rodgers. Not that bad. But 175 yards on the ground at a 5.5 clip. So let's break this down. Let's get into the big thing. Let's start talking about some of these takeaways. I have 7 offensive takeaways. Normally we have 6, then we go 4. This is 7 because I think it's pretty safe to say what we're going to say about the defense, right? We've been saying it every single week. I don't want to get repetitive. But it's the same, right? But let's talk about the 7 takeaways, starting with number one. My number one takeaway, it's going to be most likely a top 10 pick is my number one takeaway. We are most likely going to get a top four pick, ladies and gents. A big reason is because of this loss. This was actually really big. We have one of the hardest schedules. Definitely the hardest remaining schedule. We're going against the Bills, then the Eagles, then we go against the Lions, who are trying their hardest, and then we go against the Vikings. You're literally talking about the two top teams in the NFC and arguably the best team in the AFC. A lot of people will debate that, right? Bears are probably, what, going to win one of those games? And because of that, they have a very good shot at just kind of getting this fourth pick. What we're seeing is the Rams are terrible and the Broncos are terrible. They are going to be tied with us for this fourth pick unless they win next week, which is highly unlikely. And because of that, the Bears have the hardest strength of schedule, so they would drop down to the fourth pick. And that's why I feel confident that I don't think anybody really feels like the Bears are going to go on this crazy run and all of a sudden start winning multiple games against literally the best teams in the NFL. Like, that's very far-fetched. And what I love about this is because they're so good, we get to see Justin Fields against top talent, right? And because the defense isn't doing too well, the defense is just going to let up like 50, 30, 40 points a game, and Justin Fields can kind of do his thing. So honestly, I think overall, it stings, it stinks, and just like everybody else, we talked about this on the preview show, as soon as the game came on, I'm rooting for my Bears. I'm rooting for them to win. I'm rooting for that. But since they lost, it's actually better for the team overall because better draft pick. And honestly, I thought that Justin Fields played well. But we will definitely go through the draft. Got to stay tuned for our shows this week. But let's open up with my second takeaway. My second takeaway, Fields didn't look hurt, right? I was so nervous that we're going to see him holding his shoulder the whole time. He takes a couple pops. He's going to be going down, right? No, he stuck with it. He got hit a couple times. He was sliding well. I thought that it was really good, but he didn't look hurt. And that was my biggest fear, right? Is that maybe you're bringing him back too early. Maybe there's something that might be affecting him, but no. So great decision. I'm glad that they played him because of that. I was a little iffy. Very, very, very glad that he was healthy enough and definitely seemed good enough to be out there and play. And overall, though, he looked good, right? You look at the two interceptions. One was kind of in that garbage time, trying to push it a little bit. And the other one, the broadcaster said it, maybe EQ should have really broke out of that stance a little bit quicker. But something that's huge, zero sacks today. We talked about it. The Packers like to send the blitz, and it didn't really affect Justin all that much. So that's what I'm excited about. So I really like that he was able to play well. You saw that top end speed with the 55-yard run, 6 carries, 71 yards, and for a touchdown. That's what I love. And Jake Capone totally agrees with this out here too. He says, I'm unbothered, honestly. JF1 continues to be elite, but the wide receivers and play calling failed him. Agreed. We'll talk about the play calling next. But yeah, I think Justin Fields played well. One thing I will say, though, I don't know if anyone else's heart stops whenever he does this, but when it's an easy play, he just kind of like lofts it. Just a little lob, a little loft. And honestly, my heart just gets a little nervous. Like, why are you giving that much air? This is the NFL. People can run really, really fast. Eventually, he's going to throw a pick 6 that way. And then hopefully he changes it up a little bit. So that's one thing that just got me a little nervous. But I thought overall, Justin Fields played very well, right? Honestly. And Jake Capone too. We'll take Anderson or Carter. Yeah. For 200, Alex. I love it. I love it. But yeah, that's one thing that I really liked. I really liked to see that, hey, we look good and we can get one of these top defensive linemen. You kidding me? This is great. I absolutely love it. Well, let's go over to my third piece, my third takeaway. We stink when we need a drive, right? This goes to like what Jay Capone was saying at the beginning. Justin Fields looked good, but then the play calling kind of failed him a little bit, right? Also, why do we look so bad when we need a drive? And we've seen it, right? Skokes was talking about it in the preview and in the comments. He was saying, he's like, I'm still mad about the Falcons drive. Every time that we need a game-winning drive, why can't we put it together? I think it's a combination of play calling, a big combination of play calling. We are a run-first team. It's great, but when you need to put the ball in the air, we just don't do it well. And with the wide receivers, yeah, you got to see somebody get open. When they know what's going on, we just don't seem to put it together when we need a drive. And that's something I'm a little nervous about. But hopefully next year we're able to do something with better wide receivers. But it was just something that anytime that we need a drive, it's like, all right, game-winning drive, here we come. Interception, game-winning drive, drop. Game-winning drive, missed call. Game-winning drive, fumble. Right? Everything always goes bad when we need that drive. And that's why we're 3-10. Right? That's why we are 3-10. But let's go over to My fourth takeaway, I'm going over to the receivers, not the wide receivers. I'm going over to Cole Kmet. My number four takeaway, Cole Kmet is the number one wide receiver. He is. He's our number one receiver for this team right now. He was targeted 7 times in 6 receptions. But what I think was key is you saw the chemistry with him and Fields. And that is huge for next year, right? That's huge because we don't know if we need a tight end because you have to prove to Poles that you're this good tight end. And he has been, right? But maybe Poles is thinking, if I just sub him out with an elite tight end, this is going to take this team to the next level, right? And right now, Kmet was showing that him and Justin Fields have that connection. You saw a couple times Fields is getting in, getting pressured. And he looks to Kmet, and Kmet comes down with the ball. It was really awesome to see. Great game by Cole Kmet. And honestly, I was not a big Kmet fan going into the season. That's why I got Clay Harbor to kind of talk about it a little bit as a former tight end. And I think that honestly, Cole Kmet is starting to make me a believer. So that's something that I really like out there, right? I really loved seeing it. I'm going to stick with my fifth takeaway with the wide receivers. And my fifth takeaway is Claypool. Why is he still a gadget only player, right? Why is he still only a gadget player? It seems like we always just are throwing some screens. We're throwing them in different spots. He's a jump ball guy, right? He is a wide receiver. He's proven it. Why are we trying to get all cutesy? The best way that we can describe that is because he just still doesn't understand the playbook fully. There was a couple plays out there where it just seemed like he was in the wrong spot. Someone's kind of barking at him going, you got to go over there. You got to go over there, right? That's what we are starting to see out there. And you just want to see him play wide receiver. But I will say this, he got six targets. So six targets, very good. Five receptions for 28 yards. That's where you're talking about the shorter plays. Obviously, he takes one in the middle and ends up fumbling. Very questionable call, I might add. The fumble, I don't really think it was a fumble, but still, I don't make the rules. I don't call the plays. I don't call the penalties. So overall, I don't think that it was a fumble, but it was. It ended up being a fumble no matter what. Chase Claypool, though, would like to see him a little bit more. Let's go to my next takeaway. Then I could kind of throw in some of these comments with here as well. My number six takeaway. When Mooney is out, it means the wide receiver competition gets to thrive. And that's what I love about this, because we already know that Darnell Mooney is going to be in the fold next year. And we already know what we have with Darnell Mooney. He's the number two, right? He's a number two wide receiver. And maybe Chase Claypool can show that he's a two or a three with that. And then you maybe get a number one in the draft up high, right? Or like you trade back and get it, or you stick with Jalen Carter and Will Anderson, right? But that's where I like to see all these people on one-year deals, right? Dante Pettis, Equanimeous St. Brown, N'Keal Harry, Byron Pringle, Renewable saying, was Byron Pringle ever thrown at? No, he wasn't. And I also another thing too, Bayless wasn't targeted, but I did see Bayless out there and I did see Pringle out there, but yeah, they weren't really targeted. And I love seeing this because now you have all these one-year guys that are just duking it out. EQ had a big game with 85 yards, but he was only targeted four times and he was going pretty deep, right? And it's also against his former team, so you can tell that they probably want to get him a little more involved in the game plan. But I'm excited to see what these wide receivers do, because here's Jay Capone saying N'Keal needs to be more included in the offense. I agree. I want to see what we have. That's why my number six takeaway is that it's actually kind of a good thing that Mooney is out, just so that we can see who's one of these wide receivers that we want to keep out there, right? Who do you want to see the Bears keep next year? Because that's going to be a really interesting take, right? Who is going to be the wide receiver that you go, let's bring him back? I thought it was going to be N'Keal, but right now, Dante Pettis, I don't love him as a wide receiver, but he seems to be a good football player, right? He can catch the punts. He's a good special teamer. Or EQ St. Brown might be end up being that guy. That's where it's going to be really interesting to see what these wide receivers do. And it's going to be a fun end of the season. It is, right? This offense, at least, is going to be fun. Defense, we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But yeah, the offense itself, the wide receiver battle, I'm excited about. And my last takeaway for this offense, number seven, Alex Leatherwood played, right? Right? Leatherwood was finally on the field. He's no longer developmental, right? He's playing out there. Renewable's asking too. He says, Leatherwood doing the rotation thing? Had a few nice pockets. I agree. There's a couple plays out there. I know the first passing play, they had Darrington Evans take on the edge rusher. And let me just say, Darrington Evans, great block on that play, because then Leatherwood eventually picked him up. But there was another play too. Leatherwood held his own and looked really good. Now, does this mean you got to play him? No. I think that he showed what he was capable of. He was out there and did well. But yet again, I think that this Bears team doesn't want to throw him to the wolves. Wants him to just kind of get his head right. Right? Because can you imagine being someone that was drafted so high and everyone's like, why would you do this? You're labeled a bust, right? Imagine it at your job. It's the equivalent is like if they posted your salaries and you're fresh out of college or you're not, like you're just getting into this new position and they post your salary and it's so much, right? You might be a little intimidated. You might be scared. And I think that's what was going on with Alex Leatherwood. I think they're going to just be trying to see what he can do and put him in this rote. Like, I really liked what they did with that rotation. So bravo to them. And honestly, Leatherwood looked good. That's what you want to see. Hopefully he can continue that growth. And then we see, maybe we don't see a little bit more this week, but I'm glad that they put him out there rather than Michael Schofield, who we know is just a veteran journeyman at that backup guard position, guard, tackle, whatever you want him to be. But it was nice. Maybe Borum gets healthy again. Kind of would like to see him out a little bit more just so that we can see maybe a handful of more snaps for Alex Leatherwood. But yet again, we got a bye week. Hopefully they will be back after that bye week. But that's my offense, right? And I don't have any real takes about the offense, but Renewable out in the comments saying Monty was meh. I kind of agree with that. We know what Monty is, right? David Montgomery is a hard-nosed running back, and he can do everything that you want decently, right? But the thing, it just doesn't seem like he can kind of take that next step, that next level in his game. Right now, everybody, we're blocking phenomenally. And he's not like dominant, absolute domination. This is the worst run defense, and he got 4.4 yards a carry, right? And Darrington Evans, 7 yards a carry, but yet again, he got all 21 yards on one carry. He had 3 carries, 21 yards, 1 carry went for 21 yards, right? We miss Khalil Herbert. It just further cements that Khalil Herbert is a better running back. The better overall back is still David Montgomery, but Khalil Herbert adds an extra dimension. He's just a good, logical runner out there. Monty can break a million tackles. That'll look great, but you just need somebody to pick up yards. You just need somebody to do that next thing. So I agree out there with you, Renewable. He also had 4 catches for only 6 yards. And I will say this, it was nice to see David Montgomery get more involved in the passing game. It's something that we have not done a lot of, but definitely we talked about it last week. Having Trevor Siemian out there, we were able to incorporate the running back a lot more. And that's something that they definitely brought over to this game plan as well. So I really, really like that. So that's what I liked. But let's go over to this defense. But before we do, just another quick reminder, if you are a sports bettor, you can go out and use our promo code UNBEARABLE for 125% bonus on your first deposit at betus.com, or just click the link below. It's a lot easier that way. So let's get on to my defensive takeaways. I only have 3. Like I said, don't want to talk about this too much because it's a lot of the same stuff. And my first takeaway for this defense, or if we want to be specific, the 8th takeaway, it wasn't terrible. Like, it really wasn't terrible. I was expecting it to be awful. I was expecting it to be just brutal. And like what Renewable said, Vildor who? Right? Kendall Vildor was out. We had Kyler Gordon out. We had our starting safeties out. Everybody was out. Right? But we still played well. We still played decent. Like, honestly, Aaron Rodgers for the longest time was not able to get the passing game going. I was totally happy with what we saw out there. Right? You know that the defensive line is not going to do anything. Right? Defensive line is never going to get any pressure. But overall, Aaron Rodgers did not do great. Only 182 passing yards. The running stats are definitely a little inflated because of Christian Watson's rush at the end of the game. I give kudos to Christian Watson. You see what type of an athlete he is for the Packers. But we held Aaron Jones to 2.9 rushing yards a carry. That's good. A.J. Dillon did have 5.2, but still, like, it's not terrible. It's not great, but this is a good running attack, and you did very well against them. So I was shocked. I was surprised, but I think we know the reason why, which we will get to later on. But I want to bring this up, right? I want to bring this up. This is my number nine takeaway in the comments. We're already kind of hyping this up. The UDFA corner duo impressed me. And I purposely put in the duo, right? I put in the duo because Blackwell looked great at that slot corner. I definitely want to see the tape. I want to watch the all 22 to really kind of break it down. But what I love teammates getting hyped together. I do. I love it. It puts a smile on my face. And every time that Blackwell did something great or Jalen Jones did something great, you saw them look at each other like the special teamers, the undrafted rookie free agents looking at themselves going like, yeah, we just balled out, right? We just did that. And it was so cool. They played well. They really did. And you look at the wide receiving stats, Alan Lazard, 5 catches, 67 yards. Christian Watson, 3 catches, 48. But really nothing else after that. Honestly, Randall Cobb, 4 targets, 0 completions. So honestly, I liked it. I liked seeing them out there. And we got some people. Give me Blackwell over Wilder every day and twice on Sunday. Love it, right? I thought it was good, right? They played very well. Jalen Jones definitely had his best game. We've seen him out there. But I got to say, that's why I'm saying the duo. It seems like when your dude is playing with you, right? Your buddy's playing with you. Sometimes it just takes that level up a notch. And that's what it did, right? I'm fine with seeing this if Kyler Gordon isn't ready. But I also really hope that this makes Blackwell play more in that slot. We saw when Blackwell did not get the start at slot, Jalen Jones did. I would rather see Blackwell in that slot if you need to, right? I like him over Jalen Jones, so I hope that Blackwell, who was seen as a special teamer, and we talked about it last week in the post-game recap, that the Bears must only like him as a special teamer. Now, he's not to the level of the great Thomas Graham Jr. when he just balled out against Minnesota. But I really do think that Blackwell showed you, hey, I'm not just a special teamer, guys. Put me out there, coach. I'm ready to play. So I'm excited. I really like those. They really did impress me. And also, it's cool, too. I don't know if anyone else does this. When you're watching this team, you go, we have two starters that are undrafted rookie corners, right? And then we have a rookie at Elijah Hicks as a safety. Didn't play great, you know, but he's not going to be starting for you anytime soon. And DHC had a very good game out there as well. So overall, defense surprised me. Were they amazing? No. Were they great? No. Were they terrible? No. But I was expecting them to be terrible. So that's where they were a little bit more surprising. But let's go to my 10th and final takeaway. And it's not an unbearable show without Sanborn. Right? The 10th takeaway. Like, I don't watch the defensive line anymore. I watch Jack Sanborn. I do. I feel like everybody normally just watches the defensive line. Are they going to get the quarterback? And we all know this Bears defensive line is not going to get the quarterback. So just watch Jack Sanborn play. Jack Sanborn had another great game, tallied up 11 tackles. PFF says that they tallied 14, and I lean towards the 14 because I swear he had 11 tackles in the third quarter, and then he got at least 3 more. So I think that he played a great game. The Jackhammer, as Renewable calls him out there, just another great game by Jack Sanborn. Jay Capone says, Jack Sanborn starting middle linebacker confirmed officially going forward. He believes in him, right? What do you guys think? Because to me, he's looking good. And the thing that I really like about him is he keeps taking steps up in his game. Roquan Smith had 11 tackles today too. But Jack Sanborn, what I love about him, next game, just watch Sanborn, right? Don't look at the defensive line. Just follow Sanborn. The dude hits. He hits. He blows up blocks. He's in the right spot. The dude plays football. That's what he does. And it's great to see out there. Seems like a coach's favorite player. Just hard-nosed. A Tom Waddle at linebacker type of piece, where he's a hard-nosed player, but he also, we got to give him credit for his athleticism. He's always had kind of a knock that he's not an athletic guy, that he's not that NFL burst. But you saw it. There was a screenplay. Here's the jackhammer, Jack Sanborn, knifing in and breaking it up. And there was another play, too, that I think it was the new guy that they just signed, and Renewable brought him up, that we saw the defensive tackle from the practice squad, Andrew Brown, make a big stop. But also Sanborn on that play, or it might have been Taco Charlton. I'm getting it mixed up. Don't have it down in my notes. But what I loved was Jack Sanborn just swim moves his guy and breaks up the play. Also, when they send Jack Sanborn on a blitz, even if he's at the line, the guy plays better at the defensive line than anyone else on our defensive line, right? If we still have Roquan Smith, I would love to see Jack Sanborn at defensive lineman, because I truly believe he's our best defensive lineman. He's our best linebacker. And I like having that size in the middle, because Nicholas Morrow is 230 pounds soaking wet, right? And I think Jack Sanborn adds beef, adds strength, adds discipline. And it's crazy to say that with an undrafted rookie free agent. I think overall, what I would do with him, obviously you're keeping him moving forward, but maybe you draft someone to try and compete with him, and you have Jack Sanborn just show that he is the guy. But yeah, great player out there. But last little bit, special teams, just going to tap that real quick. Glad that we have Trenton Gill as our kicker rather than Megapunt. But also, I want to give some kudos to Velus Jones Jr. Velus, 28.5 yards per return and the kickoff. He just has that extra special speed. And it's nice seeing him out there. It's good to see him actually receive some of these kickoffs. It was interesting to see them put Bayless and Ebner back there. And yet again, we make fun of Cement Shoes Ebner all the time. But Ebner was like leading the NFL in kick returns. So there is something to be said about that, at least. But it was nice to see both of them back there and Bayless getting a shot at returning. Build his confidence. Make sure they just build it up, right? It was nice to see him out there. Nice to see him get those chances. So just bravo overall. Now, even though we lost, we're still kind of winning, because we have that number two pick. Next week, we have an amazing show for you still. We're going to be talking about the offseason, talking about things to look out for. You're not going to want to miss that. So make sure to like and subscribe out there. It's going to be a fun show. I love talking offseason. I love talking about what the Bears could potentially do. There's a lot of ideas buzzing around where we could potentially do this. But also, before we go, Renewable made a point. Velus Jones Jr. was in the backfield as well. We saw him as kind of that running back. So it only means one thing. Luke Getsy must be an ally of the pot, right? He must be listening and saying, we got to put Velus back there before we put Ebner back there. But he only got like 1 yard, I believe it was. So maybe we got to try it again, and hopefully it goes a little bit better next time. But thank you all again. Make sure to like, make sure to subscribe. Let your friends know about it too. Doing that helps the show out tremendously. And with that, Unbearable Sports Podcast, we're out. Yeah, she's got some nice long hair, and you know that she's a bad